Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm your host, Chris Stainis, and also the founder of Women of Wisdom and the Women of Wisdom Conference that is held in Seattle every year. We're in our 28th year. It is February 14th through the 16th at the UW Tower in the University District of Seattle. Our theme is Radiate Loving Harmony, Unite Our World. And we have some special guests this year, including the well-known author Jean Shinoda Bolen, and also author Sarah Beek and Gina Salah, a fabulous singer. Wendy Rule, another fabulous singer, is going to be doing a concert on Friday night. You can read all about it on our website, womenofwisdom.org. Just look for the 2020 Annual Well Conference. Today I'm interviewing one of our workshop presenters, Carolyn Berry, and she's giving a workshop on the power of happiness, a dynamic radiance. Carolyn Berry has spent over 40 years guiding people to emotionally heal and to reach for their human potential. In this role, she has served as a Go Shining coach, a marriage family therapist, wise woman mentor, and a workshop retreat presenter. Carolyn became interested in being happy as a teenager and strived to find happiness during her adult years. It was in her late 60s that she realized that she was authentically happy most of the time. She wrote the book, From Misery to Happiness, in her early 70s to share her journey to happiness, and she has since discovered the influential infectiousness of happiness and takes every opportunity to pass it forward. You can read more about her on her at her website, carolynberry.com. So welcome, Carolyn.
Hello. How are you, Chris?
I'm great. I'm still doing some jet lagging here, but... I'm good. So let's first talk about, you wrote a book, From Misery to Happiness, which is about your journey to find happiness. Tell us your story a little bit, probably a shortened version, about that journey to finding happiness.
Well, you know, the best place to start is one time I was just probably one of the most miserable people I've ever known. I was in a very, very dark place for many, many years. And I tried all kinds of things to make myself happy. I went back to school. I'd gotten married. I had children. I tried everything that the world had told me was supposed to make me happy. I had a home. I had nice cars. I had everything that was supposed to make one happy, and I was not. I was miserable. And... what I discovered was that in trying to find happiness, I'd gotten addicted to alcohol, and so I got sober. And when I got sober, I got some tools. And the first time I acceptance, and I started practicing this thing, and then I started practicing gratitude. I just started clearing my mind and knowing that I had to start looking inward. I had to start looking at myself. And as I started looking inward and in towards myself, I discovered that the person that I thought I was, I wasn't. That I was someone who actually was pretty dang loving and kind. And so I started to build on that, on the misconception that I had of myself, and started to then go on a journey of searching for who I was and how I could become more. And that through that process, I went from misery to happiness and practiced and found some practice that I put into place.
Mm-hmm.
Or virtue.
So let's, maybe you could share what you discovered that makes you feel happy now.
Oh my gosh. I practice four virtues, actually. It's acceptance, gratitude, what I call constructive attention, and love. And every morning, Chris, every morning I get up and I look out my window and I just get into, I can feel that sense of just accepting the world as it is, each season, everything where it is. Right now the trees are all barren out my window. And then I just give gratitude. I'm so grateful for the beauty and the changes. the flow of that change. And then I just tell it how much I love it. I love you. I love my life. And in doing that, every morning I start my day like that and journey through my life feeling full, satisfied, contented, and full of joy. And that's what I've been doing now for weeks. And dang, it works, Jane. It works, Chris.
Well, that's great. Yeah, starting the day. I mean, so many times we just pop up because we have our to-do list. We got to go on email. We got to, you know, some people, it's Facebook. Yeah. I don't know what it is. But we just hop out of bed without taking that time that sounds like you do to focus on, okay, what would make me happy today? So what is happiness? How do you define it?
Okay. For one thing, I think it's not about that making me happy. It's about me being happy and sharing it and feeding it through the knowledge of that, feeding it through that practice of acceptance and gratitude and love. It's that just feeds that happiness. The happiness is inside me. There's no chasing it. It is becoming still and allowing it to come to me. And as I practice those other things, the gratitude, the love, the constructive attention, etc., that I grew it. And I realized that when I was out on a journey, I took like almost 2 years, and I closed down my business and I went across the country by myself and traveled for 2 years just connecting and learning more about this nation that we live in. And in that process, I just got deeper connected with that. And I what I learned is that you have to pay attention to who you are, what you're doing. We get so busy doing that we forget how to be.
Yes, we're very much in a doing society and culture. And yeah, you're right. Forget that the being part of us. It just being with ourselves and being with others, being present. Now, you mentioned, I'm curious about this, constructive attentiveness. Tell me about that.
Okay, constructive attention. It's not just about giving attention, it is how you give it. So it's about constructive attention. A lot of people give negative attention to things. So what I'm talking about, it's not just about where you focus, but also how you focus. So if you are also practicing compassion and any kind of mindfulness, it's like when you focus with loving care, with compassion. And you also really look at where you're looking. If you're looking at something and it looks really bad, like, well, we could look at our country today and, like, have really concerns. But there's also so much good stuff going on. And so you have to make conscious choices about what you want to grow in your life, because I believe where you pay a constructive attention is what grows. So where your attention goes, grows, period.
Yeah, so
and
true.
So that's part of it. So if you're also giving a good deal of energy to the fact that you're feeling happy and you're loving feeling happy and you're paying attention to that, that's going to grow. Is this making sense to you?
Yeah, but I have a question. So if you're just focusing on happiness, probably you have to do a lot of inward work, inside work of what makes you happy. I mean, what are the things that bring you joy? What brings you happiness? Because it's easy to say, you know what I mean? It's easy to say, okay, I'm going to be happy today, and then stuff happens, and then all of a sudden you're not happy. So.
Okay. The fact is that it's about creating a habit. Like, we have thoughts, right? We have positive and negative thinking processes, and we can create patterns. So if we're creating positive thought patterns, then we are going to create positive feelings. And if we have positive feelings, we're most often going to feel satisfied. And if we're feeling satisfied, we're going to be happy about it. So it's about a connection. This is about synergetic system of life, of recognizing that everything is connected, not just outside in our world, in our universal world, but in the universe within us. So when we can see that we are, everything is connected and affects everything else, and we begin to live from that deep understanding and accept it, then we begin to feed it with this stuff. It becomes a conscious practice of moving. It doesn't mean that you don't feel sad. It doesn't mean that you don't feel angry. It's just that you don't live in that. That is not your disposition or primary pattern of living. Those are things that are part of being human and make us appreciate our basic general disposition. And so it's about creating, you know, it's like, it's like, for instance, sometimes you have friends or you have people in your life and you say, oh my gosh, they are just downers, or they're just so angry. You know, I wish they could deal with that. So we see people in different dispositions, and then some people we see with just really, they're happy. So it's like people want to be around that happy person. You know?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes you feel like you want to be happy more. Everything feeds into it. It's not isolated.
I just wanted to ask you about discovering what you feel passionate about, or, you know, things that, finding the things that make you happy, that you, has to do with what your purpose in life is, or what you feel passionate about, and how you bring that into this whole picture.
Right. I passionately love people. You know, I passionately do love life. And people are a good deal of that. And I've always loved people. I find them, oh my God, they are such survivors, and they go through so much, and they come out of it, and they create so many different things, and they have wonderful imagination. I just love people. And being happy and seeing sometimes people or friends or people in my life that are not, it's like I'm passionate about wanting to give that to the world. To at least my world, to give that and share it and tell people how they can change that. And if they choose to, fine. You know, I can't make anybody change something, but I can give them ways in which they can change something if they choose to. And so that's been my purpose. I consider myself sort of a messenger of joy. That I've come across something that for me works really beautifully, and I live most of my, even when I'm sick, it doesn't matter, I am happy. I'm truly, authentically, deeply, intrinsically happy. And having that gift, it's when you feel something like that, for me the natural thing is to want to share it, to want to help other people get it, to see you don't have to. We have such a depressed society. And it doesn't need to be, because happiness is as contagious as misery.
Well, that's true. You know, like you said, you're around happy people. It's infectious, like you said. It allows you to feel good about yourself. If someone's feeling good about you and passing on this happiness, this happy factor, you're going to feel more happy. Or you might have do you ever find that you have the reverse, where people, oh my goodness, that person's so happy and I can't be around her because it brings up all my misery for me because I'm not happy like her?
I think there's definitely people like that. I have not had that happen. I've had people think that I'm faking it, but you're not, you know, you can't be that happy.
Yeah,
you can't be that happy. And I just smile. Okay, you know, but yes, I am. And it would be like me saying, you can't be that miserable. Yes, you are. So it's about allowing. And yes, I think that there's people sometimes that get stuck in something, and when they see somebody with something they really want, it can be a real barrier to them actually getting happy, because they have such lack of acceptance of being right where they are and coming to any kind of decision of whether they really want to change it. They get stuck. Mm-hmm. If we do not look at ourselves and say, you know, I accept this about myself, then we can't go about saying, I want to change it or I don't. And so, you know, that's all part of this process, is when you go inside, it's about, and really begin to get to know who you are. It's about having the opportunity to say, I want to grow this, I want to diminish, I want to grow this, I want to diminish this. I want to shrink this, I want to grow this. And we can do that consciously if we take the time. I mean, I think as individuals, we're each person is so valuable, and yet we spend such little time tending to ourselves.
Well, yeah, we're all about taking care of others, especially women, and worrying about others than ourselves. And you know, I've been talking about this with other people that are presenters at the conference of you know, it's about self love, self first, all that plays into that.
Yes.
So you're talking about this, and there's in your life, but also your interest is in helping people to grow their happiness. So when did this begin for you that you, it's like this is your mission to help others find this happiness?
Yeah. When did that start? I think when I was out on the road and realized I had an occasion where I was driving. I think I just crossed over from South Dakota into Nebraska, and I came across this beautiful field. Just went on and on of sunflowers. It was like waves of gold, just an ocean of gold out there waving in the wind. It was gorgeous, and I was just taken aback. I pulled over my car to look at it, and tears came down my eyes, and they were tears of joy. And at that moment, I realized that I had something. I was really so happy. I was starting to visit some people that were not so happy. I want to help them. I want to give them this. This is all possible. This is possible. People can change the way their thought patterns. They can change, you know, through their changing their thought patterns, change the feelings that they're experiencing. And if they change those, you can change your perception. Again, it is all so connected. And when you can teach them how to do that and how to connect and get into processes of falling in love with self and then falling in love with your life, and you'll start to project that on others. We often see people as we sometimes see ourselves. If we feel like we're judged, we'll often judge. And so if we feel happy, we will, or we feel good about ourselves, we will see the goodness in others. So that's when I really decided that I really wanted to focus on this. I also saw and was listening to things across the country about the tremendous opioid problems and the amount of prescription and illicit drugs that were being taken across our country. And I thought, that is due to unhappiness. That is due to depression and anxieties and dissatisfaction, discontent. And so I thought, if we were focusing on creating happiness, we were focusing on learning how to connect with the happiness within us and to grow it, it would be a healing process, because if you're happy, you don't have to do those things. You will not have depression. You will not have anxiety. Fear would diminish.
So in that, it strikes me then that there's some life changes that have to be made to make that shift from depression to happiness. So what are those life changes, and how do people go about that? Because, you know, people could be listening to this and like, well, it sounds easy for you, but you know,
no, it took many, many years, but I don't think it has to take as many years for others as it did for me. If we look at our thought patterns, and we look at if we tend to think like, oh, have patterns where we always put ourselves down, you know, why did I do that? That was stupid. Why did I say that? That was stupid. Da 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 da. And we realize that we're we have this thought pattern. It's not about fighting it, because the last thing we want to do is struggle with anything. But we want to acknowledge it, to accept it as being part of how we think. And then to concentrate, or to make a conscious choice to add a positive statement to it. So it's like, oh, I'm so stupid, I shouldn't have said that. And instead, then you can just add, well, I did say it, and, you know, it wasn't that bad, and I would like to say it this way next time. And I'm not stupid. I was just not thinking, and I can take a little bit more time and think. I think I'll start taking a little breath and think before I say something, and that's okay. I can do that. It's just small little things over and over again until you begin to do that. But I'm not stupid. I just wasn't thinking.
And how much time we spend just still beating ourselves up for what we said, rather than taking this as a lesson and knowing that you can change, as you said, and what do you need to do to change, and take the small steps, like to be aware, to be aware that you made a mistake and that you can do it differently next time. And, you know, that self-awareness. And so instead of continually how many times do we beat ourselves up and we hash it over in our brain over and over again all day long?
Yeah, really. You know, and it's usually a question we can't answer, like, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I do that? Until we make ourselves feel guilty and bad about who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is to go back to the very basic, and that is to pay attention to yourself. Pay constructive attention to yourself. To treat yourself with compassion. And to know that you can create something different if you choose to. We tend to sometimes feel helpless, or like, this is just who we are. But the reality is most of us can change the way that we behave, or the way that we think, the way that we feel. You know, we can change almost a lot of things about ourselves, because we get focused on trying to change everything outside of ourselves, thinking that that's what affects us. That's what creates how we are or feel or what we experience. And that's a mistaken thought. That's a mistaken idea. We've said it to ourselves over and over so often that we believe it. It becomes part of our belief system.
Mm-hmm. So what you're talking about is, you know, our thoughts create our reality. And so thoughts affect our happiness. I mean, your whole theme is about happiness. So what we think is who we are.
Affects out what we feel, and how we feel about something affects our perception. Again, that web, synergistic system.
So another aspect about this, I would think that it would affect your health. I mean, and I imagine being, you know, depression and being angry, and the kind of the negative emotions, we can understand affects the health. And so shifting things to happiness, have you seen that affect health in people or in yourself?
Oh, yes. For one thing, you know, most people don't think I'm the age that I am. Most people think I'm much younger and I don't think it's because I look that much younger. I think it's because of the energy and the way that I feel and what I project. So they see me as younger. And that's just part of that. And the reality is most studies have shown that happiness affects our longevity and our mental health. So, you know, I mean, you have like even Bhutan has made happiness a priority, creating a measure called gross national happiness, which is.
Yes, I read that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And actually some other countries, including ours, have studied what Bhutan is doing, because one of the things that we need to do is recognize the power of this. if we have healthier people, if we have happier people, I mean, they produce so much more because they're usually doing things they really love. Happy people don't do things they don't like doing. They put their lives and they invest in things that they enjoy. Just is also part of who they are. So, you know, it's just that we create with happiness, you create healthier bodies, minds, and relationships. And relationships affect health. And then most studies have proven that happy people have really much healthier, happy relationships. And that's not just marriages and romantic relationships, but friendships, etc. They have just larger support systems. And we do know that mental health very often can be measured by the degree of, or the size and the degree of depth of one's support systems. So, yes, happiness definitely affects health. Now, there's so many simple things that can happen. I have a friend, actually, who's everybody just loves being around her. She's a really happy person. She's just happy. And it's not about anything she does. She glows, and there's always a smile, and there's always the sense of her seeing the positive, and people just flock to her.
Yeah, it's a magnet.
Friends,
like,
I just love being around so and so, you know.
Yeah, it's like a magnet when you can exude that happiness that, you know, you will draw like-minded people. You will draw happy people to you if you are expressing happiness yourself. And so, again, it's tuning into who you are. What are your gifts to bring to the world so that you're working from that. And it relates to I want to have you relate it to a spiritual practice that influences happiness. You had a statement that happiness is a gift to and from your soul.
Yes. Well, I see the soul as our essence, the essence of who we are. And I'll give you a little the way I see the world in life. The soul is my personal essence. As long as I'm on this earth, my soul is within me, and when I leave, my soul will cross over and move on. But the spirit is like all the energy, all the flow. The spirit is all that connects all of us together. It's in everything, trees and rocks, the mountains and the sky, it's our energetic connections, and it's life force. And when I say feed the soul, I get back to feeding it with all of that kindness, to feeding that soul with loving attention, with affection, with gratitude. You know, to be compassionate. It's all of those positive aspects when we practice those. And when we put that in there, it changes. It changes how we feel in our soul. That spiritual connection, we cannot not have it, I don't think. It's like we cannot practice all of this. We cannot, I don't care whether we're miserable or we're happy. We have a spiritual essence about us. It's just that whether the light is glowing or whether it's dim. And in happy people, the spirit, the soul is vibrant. The soul becomes vibrant, and the vibrance and because the soul is vibrant, it projects out the joy. I have this thing I say, go shining. Go shining is my salutation. And that just means your soul, you shine when you're happy and you're joyful and your light is going, shine it, for goodness sakes. You are the star of your life. Be it. And let it shine. Because that shine will not only show you the way, it'll guide you, it will also show that spiritual aspect to me. It's like it's the meaning and the purpose of our lives, and so we have that. We have each of us that light, and it's how we use it in the world, and whether we allow it to shine is part of our spiritual essence.
Yes, allowing, it's a good word, because many of us are, and I'm sure we all have experiences where we hide, you know, we're afraid to show our light because we might be judged or rejected or people won't like us, they won't like that light, and that's not true, that's not the truth, you know, because when you shine that light, you're, you know, it radiates from you and draws these people to you to, you know, to want to be around you, and so hiding is like hiding from your soul, you know, hiding from who you really are. And
right, and it gives the other people that you're afraid that aren't going to like you or whatever or judge you in some way, it gives them all the power and takes away your little stardom, and you become a co-star in your life, and you're making them the star of it.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's an interesting thought, and it's good to reflect on that. Because, yeah, it's like you're giving away your power to somebody else, and the power is within you to create what you want in your life and to be who you want to be in your life.
Right. And if you're really in love with yourself, you're into self-acceptance. And if you have a self-acceptance, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't mean that you don't care in some way or get affected a little bit, but it means that you don't give them the power to change who you are or what you do or how you do it. But that still is yours. You are still at the helm of your life.
Yeah, it reminds me of the words, like, instead of to respond to the world, instead of react to things as, you know, what's out there, and responding is coming from yourself and responding to what the universe is bringing you in a way that is reflects you, you know, the whole, I love it. It so fits our theme, radiate loving harmony. You know, what more presence can we have of radiating happiness? And second part of our theme is unite our world. And so, If you had a magic wand and waved it over the world to offer one gift that would manifest happiness, what would that be?
Think about it just a minute. I think that's a big one. I think it would be to have a resolute aspiration to be a positive, satisfied human being, consciously connected to self and to all of life.
Yeah, that leaves a lot for people to think about. Consciously connected.
Yes, and consciously connected to self and to all of life. Just as you were talking about, you know, the radiance, the harmonious radiance, it's like that's what we need within ourselves, just ourselves, to be harmonious within ourselves, our mind, body, spirit, and feelings, all in harmony.
Yes, it starts with ourselves and finding that within ourselves. So just one last thing. I'm just wondering about the virtues that is associated with happiness.
Yeah, the virtues I mentioned earlier, and for me that is acceptance, which is not necessarily, I don't mean it in the context of agreement. I mean it in the acknowledgement of a condition or situation. So that if you could, we can acknowledge that a condition or situation, accept that something exists, then we can examine it and discern and have choice of what we want to do, what we can change, what we can't. And so that is so important to do that, to accept people as they are, because I cannot change them. If I really don't like somebody or they really ruffle my peace of mind, then I would probably say, oh, well, I don't have to be around them. So I would just probably not have them in my life or have them very outside in the periphery. So I have choice. Gratitude is the other one. And gratitude, when I think about gratitude, it's not the daily courtesies of thank you and I really appreciate that. It is about feeling it. It is about being in gratitude, having gratitude that comes from deep inside, that I truly feel, that I feel it and experience it. Not just something coming from the head, but the gratitude that one deeply feels. And then constructive attention, we talked a little bit about, and constructive attention, again, is simply that practice of not only where I focus, but how I focus. I had a very simple thing happen one time, and this is in my book, with an older couple who had been married considerable length of time, and they'd come to see me, and they talk about this a lot. They still do. And she had to excuse herself and go to the ladies' room, and he said, Carolyn, I have to tell you, she has this habit. She has this habit that drives me crazy. And every time, and he was talking about her licking ice cream off a spoon. He said, she licks ice cream off the spoon, and it makes me crazy. It's enough that I think I'm going to have to divorce her. I cannot take it. And I looked at him, and I said, then don't look. Just don't look at it. And his jaw dropped. And he says, oh. And you know, he started looking at other things when they went out to eat. He started to put his focus on something else that he liked in the restaurant. And he said, that simple little thing of focusing someplace else saved his marriage.
Yeah, sometimes it's just the simple things.
Very simple.
Yes.
That's constructive attention is where you put your attention and how, you know, and how you attend to somebody, a kid that you don't tell them, you know, you didn't get all A's, you just got, you know, you got two C's and an A. You said, it's like, oh my God, you did really well in this. And I see some places where you have some challenges, but you know, still you're doing quite well. You got that A, honey. That's wonderful. If you need any help with any of these others, let me know. But the attention needs to be on the positive part. So that's what he can grow. That's the strength. That's the sense of confidence the kid will grow. And then the other one is love, but it's love. It's more of a compassion, universal love. That love that goes for love for life and love of people and in the generality, but it's deep and it's feeling. And it's a love of your God as you understand that God or higher power. You know, it's just this purity of feeling total connection. And so those are the four things I consider virtues. And if you're practicing any one of them on a regular basis, it will start taking and feeding your happiness. You don't have to practice all four of them because they actually are a web of reciprocity. If you practice one, the other ones will start to pop up.
Well, that's good to know.
All you do is have to practice one of them in a really sincere, you know, regular way. And be dedicated to it, and that will create and begin to feed your happiness within you, your really intrinsic happiness, and it will grow. And the other other virtues will automatically also be fed. And they'll start to feed into each other. I've been doing this for a long time, and it works.
Well, that's a great testament for you and for others to you're going to be teaching this. So I think it's for anybody out there who's kind of wanting to find happiness in their lives, it's a basic trait that we all want to have. And you'll be doing exercises and getting people to that source of, how can I be happy? And so I encourage people to look into this if this is what you're wanting in your life. Carolyn, I want to thank you for bringing this. And I think what you're talking about these virtues is like just doing one. It's like taking simple steps. You don't have to do it all at once and learning
no,
that way.
You don't.
Yes. So thank you so much for being on the show today. We look forward to being in your happy presence at the conference.
Chris, I look forward to seeing you, and thank you very much. I am very excited about presenting there and seeing the other presenters. It's going to be an exciting time, and I'm really looking forward to that event. Thank you.
Great. Well, everybody check out the website, womanofwisdom.org. You can attend just one day. You can come Saturday or Sunday, or really spend the whole weekend around with women in community, and where you'll be witnessed and be able to share your stories and have transformational experiences. So check it out, the website, womanofwisdom.org, and also Wendy Rule's concert on Friday night. It's open to men. It's a Valentine's Day concert. So we look forward to seeing everybody at the conference on February 14th through the 16th. Okay, bye now. Okay.